those of you probably heard of the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, which are both in Israel. And the Sea of Galilee is up on the northeast side, and there's a river that flows into it and flows out, and then if you follow down south along the edge of Israel, there's the Dead Sea. And the Sea of Galilee, as you know, is the one where Jesus picked up Peter fishing and found disciples at work, because the Sea of Galilee is full of life. There's fish, there's plants, there's wildlife. It's a living lake. It's smaller than the Great Lakes, but it's called the sea because it's still a pretty big lake. So it's full of life. But if you travel on down and come to the Dead Sea, appropriately named, nothing survives in it. There's no fish, there's no plants. It's so full of salt that nothing can survive in it. The difference between these two lakes, the Sea of Galilee has a river. Fresh water flows into it, and it has a river that flows out of it. Fresh water comes out. So continually, the Sea of Galilee is recycled. The water is made fresh, nonstop, because it's always coming in, and it's always flowing out. The Dead Sea, which happens to be the shore around the Dead Sea, happens to be the lowest spot of land on the planet. And so there's nowhere for water to flow out. The water flows in, but it doesn't have anywhere to go. So the sun evaporates the water, and I think it's something like 7 million tons, is that right? Something that's a huge number of water that gets evaporated every day. And so those trace elements of minerals and salts that come in with the river are left behind when the pure water is evaporated. And so it's become so concentrated with salt, something like 25% to 30% of salt, that there's no way life can grab hold in there. There's no way anything can survive in the Dead Sea. The difference is the Sea of Galilee has an outlet, an inlet and an outlet. The Dead Sea, an inlet and nothing to go. So to apply that to us spiritually, if you have a spiritual inlet where you come here and you listen to messages or you hear sermons, you read your Bible, you know, you've got your inlet, but if you don't have an outlet, what good are you? James said, if you have faith, let me see it by what you do.
Right.
And if your spiritual inlet is not causing something to come out of you, your faith is kind of pointless. So we need to have those spiritual outlets. We're taking what we're taking in and also putting it out and helping the people that we need to help, reaching out for God, making conversions, helping to grow this church. So I'm sure every one of you can think right now of someone in your life, someone you care about, who doesn't know the Lord. There's someone that comes to mind right away. I can think of people in my life right away who do not know God, who do not know forgiveness and redemption and a life with meaning and purpose. Are you willing to talk to them about it? Are you willing to reach out? Are you willing to have that spiritual outlet? I can stand up here and ramble on, but unless you guys are willing to do something with it, I don't have any point. I don't have any purpose. So I hope to motivate you guys to follow that great commission that God gave. He told all the disciples, go and make disciples of all the world, teaching them what I taught you. So I hope that you guys will realize that the Great Commission is not for pastors and missionaries. It's for all of us.
Right.
So, I think one last thought. I really like the analogy of church as a hospital. I don't know. In some ways it doesn't really work, but the ways that I'm thinking here are a hospital, you know, on the one hand it's meant for sick people. Healthy people don't go to the hospital unless they work there. The workers in the hospital, the doctors and the nurses and the staff that are there to help people get better, are there to do a job. And if the church is like that, then all of us who already know God, all of us whose lives have been directed and we have got this down, should be like the workers in the hospital, reaching out to the sick and the broken. I mean, we want the sick and the broken. We want the lost to come through these doors and hear the truth and have their lives restored and renewed. We want them to find help and recovery.
Right.
And so we're looking to bring sick people in. I love how Jesus said, I'm here to save the lost, not here to watch after people who already know God. So we want to bring the people who don't know God through these doors so that we can make a difference. And all of us who are already believers, who already understand this, need to be the workers in the hospital. We need to be the doctors and the nurses and the people who are the support staff that make this hospital able to heal people, able to bring new life, able to bring purpose. You don't have to be a pastor to spread the word. There's one little tiny proverb. It's not even a whole proverb. It's a section of the proverb. In number 30, you don't have to look at it. I'll just kind of even look it up later. But it's chapter 30, verse 28, and it says, lizards are easy to catch, but they live in king's palaces. Little lizards, I used to live in Guam when I was a kid, and there were lizards everywhere. They were in your house, they were in where you went to school, where you worked. Outside, you could catch them all the time. Here, we don't have so many lizards, but we have those little box elder bugs that are everywhere. There's those little Asian ladybugs. I mean, they're in your house, and you can do your best to eradicate every single one of them, but they keep showing up. Spiders. Everybody has cobwebs, and you wonder, where did this come from? You find them in the oddest places. And so this little tiny piece of a proverb talks about how this lizard, who you don't have a second thought about him, but they're in king's palaces. I want us to be like those lizards, those box elder bugs, those beetles that get, those spiders that are everywhere, that you can't stop them. As a team, as us working together, we can infiltrate this city. So where we work, the government, our friends' houses, the neighbors next door, the people across the street, we can infiltrate everywhere and make sure that the Word of God is spread everywhere we go. Or we can choose to just kind of not.